Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
General
General Romolini.
I like that. What is up?
I feel a certain responsibility, as I've often discussed on this podcast, to not be like the biggest bummer in the world, like to be like, put like a smiley face on it. But like this week, I'm like over being old, and I know I'm not even that old yet. And I know I'm going to get so many DMs for this, but like this week I was just like, I'm fucking over being old. Like I have a frozen shoulder. I'm just like a droopy eyelid. And then this mastodon thing on like Twitter's going away, and there's Mastodon, and I was like, I don't want to know any new social networks. I don't want to do anything. And then I was like, I'm fucking old and I'm over it.
I understand. I mean, I've been thinking about age a lot, you know, and I read something recently about somebody said, you know, calling middle-aged people middle-aged is really wrong. No. It's not right, because middle age actually comes earlier if you're being quite literal about it.
Yes. 35 is middle age. 37, let's say.
I read an obit for a guy, I wish I remembered his name. He was a TV producer. Mm-hmm. And among the things he was responsible for was the moment when Mary Tyler Moore throws her hat up in the air.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Him.
Yep.
He was like, you know, she throws it up in the air. And then in real life, what happened was it fell on the street and then she went scrambling for it. And he was like, no, that's the perfect shot. And it, you know, turned out to be classic.
Yes.
And he was about 86 when he died. And he was married to Julie Kavner.
Oh, wow.
Who was like, I believe, the voice of Bart Simpson, but who was on Rhoda, I think.
Yep.
Spinoff. She played Rhoda's sister, I believe. And I just got so sad. I thought, like, cool people who did cool things got old and died. And it's been happening forever. I don't know why. It just, by reading that obituary, I felt particularly struck by it, but I just did.
It's weird when it hits you. Like, I was listening to Joe Biden talk the other day, and I was like, oh, he's like an old grandpa. And then I was like, no, he's like an old dad. And then I thought, this is probably the last time somebody's going to be president who could be my dad.
Huh.
And like, that's just how generations move. You know, I'm going to be 50 soon, next year, soon enough. And I just am like, well, this is probably among the last times that it will be someone of that generation. I mean, we're really pushing it here with Joe Biden, you know? I mean, he's almost 80, you know?
It's true. I mean, that really hit me when Kavanaugh was confirmed, because Kavanaugh is exactly my age.
Right. And I think like Ron DeSantis is like our age. And I'm like, ew. I was also having that feeling. I was like, oh, there are people of our generation who are like deeply uncool.
Very uncool. There's actually a new conservative fashion magazine. There was just an article about it in the New Yorker. Oh, what is it called?
Please find it. Oh my God. Are you kidding? Oh my God. I love this so much. Who do they have in it? Like Tiffany Trump? Like what is it?
There was a
Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Vogue, but for Trumpers. That was the headline of the New Yorker thing. The magazine is called, first of all, I love that they launched a magazine in 2022. That's really having your finger on the pulse.
I love everything about this. I love everything about this. Continue.
Oh, Conservateur.
Conservateur. Wow. Conservateur.
Oh, it's an online magazine. So I can't give them shit about launching a print magazine.
Well, I mean, look, I guess if you are... I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to be generous here because I was looking at the Tiffany Trump wedding, which was just like amazing. Like, because all of those, like, you know, evil stepsisters, there's just like such like villain vibes of all of them. Like Kimberly Guilfoyle is like,
yes. But did you see where all of the women except for Kimberly Guilfoyle, there was a photograph and it was Ivanka and it was Tiffany and it was Melania and it was the wife of one of the Trump.
Lara Trump, yes.
And then Kimberly Guilfoyle was on the end in a black dress. They're all wearing pastel dresses. She's in a black dress. And when Ivanka posted the photo on Instagram, she cropped out Kimberly Guilfoyle. So you're exactly right.
Oh, it's amazing. No, but like I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, we're in such a polarized place at this point in life. And, you know, I heard somebody say it's not polarized, it's calcified. I don't even really know if I understand that, but Vogue is not going to cover Tiffany Trump's wedding, right?
No.
So they, you know, there are so many conservative rich people who just are like, I'm stylish. I wear this thing, whatever the designer is. I want to have a place for me. It makes sense that they would do this, honestly, because like even Melania, she was never getting any Vogue coverage. I mean, that had to have burned them up. And I mean, I'm sure it did because considering like right before Michelle Obama, we were just like, oh, what's her belt?
No, it for sure did. Remember when they thought that Trump was trotting out a decoy Melania?
I do remember that. I do remember
that. Who really looked not like Melania. Like, I think it is a fact that he did that. Also, he kept trying to kiss her, which he never does with Melania.
That's true. I really did enjoy one of the, because there were so few pleasures during the Trump era, which by the way, might be coming back. He's announcing I think today he's announcing his presidency. I don't know. We might have to cut this out, but I think he is announcing another bid today.
I think he is, even though he, you know, so many of the people he backed just lost.
It was incredible. It was felt so good. But I did enjoy just watching when they would have, like, you would just see her hand smacking his. Remember, he would go to grab her hand, like Trump would go to grab Melania's hand, and you would just see her smack him away. I was just like, oh, she hates him.
Oh, I think she hates him very, very much.
I have long thought that she is Maggie Haberman's source inside.
Really?
I have long wondered if, because I know that Ivanka is a Maggie Haberman source. I mean, pretty much sure of that. But I've often wondered if Melania is like calling people up and being like, it's so fucked up in here. It sucks so bad. Like, I'm not going to leave him, but it sucks.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of fashion, so I brought all my fall clothes out, you know, for the fake Los Angeles fall. And I had that moment of being excited about all of them, like that initial, like, oh, these are, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only compare it to what happens when you get back together with an ex-boyfriend, because you just have been, you just have forgotten everything that was bad about them.
I'm now like
trying on, I'm trying on these clothes and I'm like, oh God, I remember that this sweater fits a little fucked up and these pants don't close right. And it's just like, now I'm remembering every single like problem. Just like when you romanticize an ex-boyfriend, that's what I'm having with my overalls.
Yeah, I understand that. I feel that way about most of my clothes right now. I'm like, wait, I thought I have 1,000 coats. Why are there only two that I'm wearing?
No, it's a wardrobe of ex-boyfriends.
It is. There's this one beautiful Maria Cornejo, like wide whale corduroy green, like coat comes down to my knees just about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was the snappiest thing. And it is. But I put it on the other day and I was like, ooh, did this ever look good on me?
That's how I've been feeling. Exactly. It's the same thing with boyfriends. Like you get together like, oh, he kisses weird. Like, it's just like, it's the same thing. It's like the small things you just somehow like you just forget.
You forget. Well, I had one boyfriend who I absolutely wanted to marry when we were together, when I was 30. And I just thought everything about him was the greatest. And then I ran into him years later and I was like, oh yeah, he has really bad breath.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I didn't even register it as bad breath because I was so into him.
Yes, yes, yes. But also imagine how bad that breath is now.
Oh, because age, yeah.
Just because age. Because, men, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, we put it all on women getting agey. But, like, men get gross.
Men get gross. Men grow hair in gross places. And, yeah, there are things that grow out of the skin.
Yeah, they have to grow beards as discussed because they get jolly. They get jolly even sometimes worse than us. They're just as, I mean, it's just this amazing thing of the, like the myth of the silver fox that we just can't stop. Oh, he's a silver fox. It's like, fuck off. They're not all silver foxes. It's as rare that they're a silver fox as it's rare that we look like Paulina Poroskova. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they get jolly. They get, you know, they get the booby, you know, like their chests get weird. I remember when I was having sex with an older man when I was in my 20s, and I remember he just smelled, he was like in his 50s, and I remember he just smelled a little bit sour, and I was like, ah, why am I doing this? I could smell the decay.
And now somebody could smell the decay on us.
I know, but I'm very lotioned.
Oh, Shark Tank. There was this crazy woman on Shark Tank and she was pushing one product, but then she had another product that she kind of brought in her kit bag, which is supposed to get rid of old people smell.
No, stop it.
I swear to God, I did not make this up.
Wow. Oh, God. Oh, God, that's so terrible. Because the other thing is, I think your sense of smell starts to go as you get older. I mean, mine certainly is.
Yeah.
Like, you won't know.
No, you won't know what. And plus, it's very hard to know what you smell like unless you smell especially bad.
That's true. Oh, my God, this is amazing. So wait, what was the device?
I don't know. It was just, she just mentioned it because it wasn't the product she was pitching. She was just like, I also do this thing.
I think she made a mistake there.
She was actually, you know what? This woman, you know what her product was? I remember what? Now. Face what? Yoga. Face yoga.
Mm.
Face yoga, which is supposed to be like, you know, like as effective as plastic surgery.
I do not believe that.
Nothing, no, I don't believe it for a second.
Nothing is as effective as Botox. And then nothing is as effective as then once Botox stops working, getting a facelift. Although I'm not going to say who it was, but someone, and I'll tell you when we're off air, someone was telling me that there's I shouldn't talk about it. A very popular actress who's had so many facelifts. This person told me, you would never know it from this actress's Instagram, but she's had so many facelifts that she couldn't move her face. She was talking to her at a party and she couldn't move her face. And I was just like, God damn it. When are we going to stop? When is it going to end?
No, I know. I've been thinking about that because I just read that Demois book.
Oh, yeah.
Anon, yeah. Please, which is very entertaining, you know, light as air, but entertaining. And I was thinking about my relationship to celebrity gossip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like the thing about Demois is that it basically is pretty nice and just tells you where people were eating and who they hooked up with. And you know, they'll run blind items. But I think, you know, especially after reading the book, that the person who operates or people who operate the account don't care about breaking up families and things like that. They don't want to do that.
No, and they're not like circling cellulite. Like it's nothing like it used to be, you know?
Like what's his name? The really mean one.
Perez Hilton,
yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It seems very different. But like, I don't know why, like why do we care? Like why do we care? Especially now that we know so much about their actual lives because social media and photography and everything being online.
That's such a good question. I mean, I think I think it's something to think about.
I think it like, you know, we all like crave gossip.
Yeah.
And once you're no longer in your 20s or in high school, there's really not a lot of gossip about like your immediate circle.
Or the gossip is sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
The gossip
yeah.
just starts to get like sad and dark and you're like, oh, that's sad gossip. I don't want, like, I really don't even spread it anymore. Like it's sad. I don't want to do it. It just makes me feel bad. So it's like maybe those impulses, the only place we have left to do it is talking about somebody's facelift. But I'm telling you about the facelift, not even as gossip. I'm telling you about the facelift because because
where does it end? No, I understand that.
I'm like so revolted by the whole, thing. I mean, even I was looking at, I was really up in arms this month because Allure, did you see the last Allure?
I did. And I thought it was just so obviously a Frankenstein cover.
It is just, exactly. It's Jennifer, if anyone hasn't seen this, it's Jennifer Aniston, who I think is a very beautiful woman.
And me too.
Has really, you know, whatever she's doing now, there was a very long time where she was just aging remarkably naturally looking and beautifully and whatever. Who gives a shit? I don't care what people get done to their faces ultimately. I care that there's this pressure for us to look 23 when we're 53.
Right.
And this cover was just chaos. It was just like visual chaos.
It was like stupid styling.
She had like a Chanel pasty bikini on. Continue.
If I could prove it, which of course I can't, but there is no way that that head was not Frankensteined onto a different body because it does not look like a body. It looks awkward and weird. And I've done it, you know, I was in charge of a lot of retouching, you know, when I worked at Lucky, and every image in a magazine is retouched, like every image, even an image of a plate of food is retouched. So when it comes to like a cover subject, you get snow blind. People retouch and retouch and retouch, and you've got like 10 potential covers and they're all slightly different, you know?
Right.
You lose. I mean, I remember one cover in particular that we over retouched and it was bad, but you get into this mindset.
Of like what? Like take her arm down, narrow her arm out.
Well, if we can, you know, if she was holding her hand in a weird way in one picture, but everything else about the picture is perfect, then you'd be like, okay, just move an arm over from this picture here.
Wow.
I mean, we didn't do this all the time, but it did happen. You know, let's just like, you know, plop this head on that body. That I never did, except for once. At the very beginning of Lucky.
Oh my God.
I don't remember all the details, but we had an image of a model and her head was just at a weird angle. And so we plopped a new head on. Yeah. I can't defend myself. This is what I did. This is what part of what my job was for 10 years. But yeah, you get, and so that's how you end up with the crazy Jennifer Aniston cover, because everybody's been doing this and pushing this and pushing this. Maybe it's a good thing it's the last issue of Allure magazine, like if that's what's going to be on the cover.
I worked at Allure for like 6 months once as a fact checker. And I have to say it was among the worst jobs I ever had. They were so mean.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, but yes. I've always heard that Allure was actually a worse place to work than Vogue.
It was the worst place. I mean, it was, because I worked at Glamour, Cosmo, Lucky, and Allure. And Allure was the worst of all of them. They were the meanest and the most stress. They were so fucking stressed out about every fucking thing. And you know, this is a fairly low bar here. They were the dumbest too. It was like the dumbest shit. It was just like, this is literally only mascara. Like there is nothing else here except mascara.
Well, I think they took their mission very, very seriously at Allure.
Oh, it was, you could just, when you're in a workplace where you can just tell everybody, like, I mean, you know, the fish rots from the head, when everybody is so fucking stressed out, like, you know that the boss, because I never had to deal with the editor-in-chief because I was a, you know, peon, but you know that the boss is just has a chokehold on everything, because you could just see like people were afraid to get lunch. You know what I mean? Wow. Like it was one of those. And I was like, good riddance. I saw that go under and I was like, good riddance. But also this fucking Jennifer Aniston cover sucks.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah, it just blows. And it was just like the Nicole Kidman Vanity Fair a couple months ago when they had her in like the that tiny Mew little outfit. Mini.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on, man.
Well, it's because I think if I'm on the Nicole Kidman, I would like to think if I'm Nicole Kidman, I show up at a shoot and they show me that outfit. I like laugh them out of the room and say, please bring me something dignified and elegant, which can also be sexy or whatever.
Right. But, I want to look like Cate Blanchett.
Continue. But I think that the pressure that these women feel, both internal pressure and external pressure, is so incredibly great that just like me with the retouching wand, like they stop seeing what they really look like.
Yeah. 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 I get it. I mean, there was a thing that I was looking at my face the other day and I was like, wow, God, my face is starting to look so different than it did when I was younger. Like it's just, it's becoming really a different face, right? Nothing bad, nothing good. Just like that's an observation. So you can kind of understand that if your face is going to be different anyway, why not turn it into a zero wrinkle face? Like it's not like you're going to look like the person you recognized yourself as when you were 23. So why not make it so taut you can't talk? I don't fucking know. I don't know. I got some flack. People were upset that I had said that that Sandra Bullock was starting to get so much work that they had to like film around her face, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just an observation of where we're at.
Yeah, it's not an attack of Sandra Bullock doing what she did or Nicole Kidman doing whatever she does. It's a question of where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that, you know, I'm thinking about Sydney Sweeney. You know her? She was in White Lotus and
Euphoria, which is Euphoria. One of my favorite teen shows, even though it should be illegal for me to watch it. Go ahead.
And she's really young.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what, you know, when you're in a business that constantly churns out beautiful, young, perfectly shaped humans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you compare, you know, I've been watching The Crown, which is so delightfully back on the air.
Yeah.
And the British are just, even a big glitzy Netflix-like production, like the British are just better about who they will show in certain roles.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You mean in terms of like natural faces and—
Natural faces and faces that are like imperfect.
Yes, yeah. No, you know? I mean, Bad Sisters.
Bad Sisters, yeah.
Which, by the way, I just finished that and I really liked their clothes. I got a lot of style inspiration from that. I was like, oh, these women, like Eva, especially like Becca, I was like, I really want these women's outfits. I'm sad it's over, but I'm also like, why is it coming back? Like, how does this show come back?
Yeah. Why can't you just have a show that was perfect for a season and call it good?
I mean, I love those women. I'd like to see them again, but it's like, they already had their time. I feel like, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Is another husband going to turn really bad?
I don't know. I mean, I like the way it wrapped up so neat. I loved it. I really loved it. But
maybe they'll become like Dexter. They'll become vigilante killers.
Ooh.
Feminist vigilante killers.
I was like, I did have a moment of, maybe I just don't have the image. This is a failure of imagination that I can't imagine what this could be next, but I was like, you guys should end it here. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, I've been watching, as I told you, I've been watching The Crown, which I very much enjoy. Imelda Staunton is a British actress who you know, if you watch any British things, you recognize, and she plays the Queen, and she plays, it's interesting because this cast of The Crown has people who do not look like who they're playing, but play them very well.
Right, like McNulty as Prince Charles.
McNulty is King Charles, Prince Charles.
King Charles, yeah. I mean, King Charles wishes he looked like McNulty.
Exactly.
But,
Exactly. But so I've been enjoying that. And then there's a show called Reboot. Reboot or The Reboot.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, but I didn't watch it.
It's that woman who did Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. What's her name? Rachel Bloom?
Yes.
She plays this woman who wants to reboot a beloved 90s sitcom.
Okay.
And, you know, there's kind of a twist early on and it's funny. It's an amusing, smart show that I have been enjoying. And I'm excited for Fleischman is in Trouble, which was a book I very much loved and that has a new limited series coming out.
Yeah, I think it's out. Maybe it's not.
I think
out.
It's out. I think it may be out as of today.
Yeah, I have not been intaking enough. Did you see that Ray Bradbury thing that was on Instagram a couple weeks ago? I posted it. It was like, how do we become creative people? How do we live better lives? And it's like, we need to stuff your brain. Mm-hmm. And his advice for this is that every night you should read one short story, one essay, and one poem. And every single night you should read from a variety, from a diverse variety of people on diverse topics every night. And if you do that, if you do that practice, I forget what he exactly says. Like if you do it over a year, if you do it, whatever, you're going to transform your brain. You're stuffing your brain with information. It's going to make you more creative. It's going to give you better perspective. It's just going to make you a more balanced person. And I was like, I'm not stuffing my brain with shit. I'm like looking at Wordle and like Instagram and like occasionally watching a show. And
But you've been working very hard. You're going through very, very intense work period.
That's
and
true.
I don't think you can blame yourself if in the 2 minutes and 45 seconds you have between finishing a chapter's revise and going to pick up your kid at school, you want to flip on Instagram.
No, it's true. It's true. But I think that just getting that perspective and taking, removing yourself from your life in ways that are positive, because I don't know about you, but I'm just like, a lot of times I'm just looking for things to like numb me out, you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Right? So whatever that is that I'm reaching for, and I can choose what those things are, and I'm not choosing as well as I could be.
Right.
Let's take a quick break for some ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And we're back.
Oh, you know what I've been listening to? And it is really good. What? I mean, this is so typical me. You mentioned something and then 2 weeks later, I'm like, I really liked it.
You do that to me too. You do that to me too. I do it back. Go ahead.
Death of an Artist. Such a good podcast.
Oh, so good. I think it kind of flops out at the very, very end, but you'll see. But I think it's such a good podcast. And I think she's such a good storyteller. And it's, there's just a lot, it's just multi-layered and it's got a lot of texture to it. And I think she does a really good job just rolling out the story, you know, which is hard to do, I think.
Yeah.
Michael Hobbs has a new podcast. Michael Hobbs, who I think is, he's You're Wrong About and Maintenance Phase. Mm-hmm. I think he's the, you know, best man in podcasting today. He has a new podcast called If Books Could Kill, which is about like airport books, like Freakonomics.
Oh, really?
And also like they do an episode on like a popular like pop science book that actually turns out to be total bullshit. So the first episode was Freakonomics. The second episode was some Malcolm Gladwell book, which just like, they're just like tearing this shit down. And it is so funny. It's so funny. Like they did the actual fact checking that if books had fact checkers, would have been done 20 years ago or 15 years ago.
Right.
So anyway, so I've been really enjoying that. They've just been roasting these books that we've all like come to believe are just like, oh, these are just the real things of the world. These are facts.
Yeah. These have so much truth in them that millions and millions of people bought them.
Yes. And also we've based so many things on them, you know, like, you know, you can't become an expert in something until you've done it for 10,000 hours, you know, whatever it is.
It is kind of amazing. Like these writers make shit up and then it becomes a thing. It's like, here's my theory. You have to have 10,000 hours. Why not 9,000 hours? Why not 8,000 hours? Why not 11,000 hours?
Exactly. Exactly to all of that. But also, I don't even know if it's making shit up so much as like making faulty connections. I mean,
yes, yes.
You've done that. I mean, I've done that.
We've all done it.
You're like desperate to make, you're like, oh, how am I going to wrap this shit up? You know?
Yeah. And then hopefully you have an editor who's like, yeah, no.
Exactly. Exactly. But that doesn't happen in books.
Yeah.
So, you know, so anyway, so that I've been listening to that. That's a good podcast I've been listening to. Oh, and I have a hair update.
Oh, good.
I've gone back to Nutrafol. I wrote this in a comment because people have been very confused. We have these Nutrafol ads and yet I've been losing my hair and I just need to explain the timeline. So Nutrafol has been our advertiser for the full year. So I recorded that ad, God, I don't even know, January, December. And at that point, I had been using Nutrafol for a while, and then they had given me a certain amount for free, and then I was just like, nah, I'm not going to take it anymore. And then slowly, my hair started going back to where it was before the Nutrafol, and anyway, I've gotten back on it, and I've been shedding less, and I finally just like choked it down, both the money and the pills, because the reason I don't like taking it is because you have to take 4 pills in the morning, and they're very big.
And they're not big, and they're not small pills.
They're really big, but it really, really does big. Work.
But it does work. Nutrafol does work. I mean, I told you. Or no, this was actually way before you were my co-host. My hairdresser, who has been giving me extensions for years, was like, you know, you don't need extensions anymore.
Oh, wow.
She's like, your hair is like in better shape, you know, and it is in better shape. I need extensions. I mean, I have a serious doll ponytail when I don't have extensions.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but yeah. So anyway, so I'm trying that. And I also have a new product called Lift from Hair Story, which is like a, I don't know, who the fuck cares? I need a haircut. I need to schedule. We were talking before we got on about how bad you and I are about just like scheduling.
Yes. Very bad.
Just like calling. Like I was telling you that like my dentist asked, my new dentist was like, where's your dental insurance card? And I was like, I don't, what? You think I have that?
I know.
Like, I'm sure it came at some point, but it's like weird and it comes in paper. I don't know. Can we look it up? Do I need to carry around this tiny piece of paper, this card, like tiny, not even cardboard to prove that I have dental insurance? Is there not a better way?
You sound so lame right now.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm Andy Rooney.
You're not Andy Rooney.
I am. I am. I am. But it's worse because I'm like 20 years younger and like 30.
Maybe not. Maybe we're the same age as Andy Rooney was when we like started watching Andy Rooney.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You might be right about that. You like, might okay. be right.
Okay. How old was Andy Rooney in, let's just say 1980?
I don't know. No,
okay,
this,
hang on.
This is so upsetting.
Okay, sorry, I'm typing loud. Andy Rooney birthday, 1919.
Fuck.
So let's say he was, when in 1980, he was roughly 60, 2 years away from where I am now.
Oh, God, we're Andy Rooney age.
It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. It is really jolting. I mean, I don't like bitching about my age because I do feel like really grateful that
yes.
I am here at all.
And, same.
But it is very disconcerting. Like I feel like I just kept acting and living like I had infinite years to live. And at a certain point you're like, oh wait, this whole ride is like, you know, I can, if I stand on my toes, I can see the end of this ride.
Yes, but you can't think about that because that's just such an ultimate like future trip. It's just yeah. like, It's just, you can't think about it, because if you think about it too much, like, then you just can't live. But plus there's like so much more fun to be had. I think that's why I've been like over being old lately. It's just, I'm not having any fun because I'm just still slogging through the endless slog of these projects, which I'll be done with by the end of the year. I just want to have fun again. Yeah. I just want to have fun, do fun things, be fun. And I need to also figure out what fun is to me now. Like, that's also complicated.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to a friend yesterday whose kid said to her, she has a young kid, and the kid said, you know, "Daddy, what do you love?" And the dad kind of related some of his hobbies and things he really loves. And he's like, "Mom, what do you love?" And she's like, "You?" Like, and really felt, and, you know, right. and you know, this whole idea that you need, or that an interest really helps you.
Yes.
A passionate interest helps you and keeps you young. And I absolutely believe that. Looking at my mother, I absolutely believe that. She's like taken up collage in the past few years, and she doesn't care if she's any good at it, but she loves doing it. And I think having a passion like that, or just an avocation, is a really important thing as you get older.
I'm considering getting a loom. Have I discussed this with you?
No.
I have really considered, like, oh, maybe I want to be like a loomer. Like a like,
is that what they're called?
Loomers. Absolutely. They're absolutely not called loomers. But like, there's some really cool shit you can do on a loom. And I thought that might be nice. I might like that. I might like looming.
Okay. Maybe there in Los Angeles somewhere, there is a looming studio where you can go and learn looming and get a sense of whether it's for you.
I just need to be free of this, because I do not fail. I have endless interests, and I just need to be free of this work prison, and then I can go back to,
yeah, you really do.
To some like, you know, like, oh, these are things that are happy. We have listener questions if you want to ask listener questions. Oh, but before we do that, we have merch now. We should tell people that we have merch, although I feel embarrassed about the merch.
No, we're doing it like we're rolling out our merch. We're learning what works, we're learning what doesn't work, we're learning what people are interested in, what colors, what.
Yes, yes. But I feel like I just felt like one day I was just like, okay, we just need to do this. Because we'd been talking about it for so long. And in typical me fashion, I was just like, fuck it, it's fine. We'll just make a t-shirt. How hard could it be? And then I was like, oh, it's kind of hard.
No, it is kind of hard. It is kind of hard to get it right, I think. But I think that we'll see by like which ones people buy, what they yes. want.
So we have it. We have a little merch shop. There are totes. Because that was the other thing. I was just like, oh, well, if there's an option to make everything, I'll just make everything. There are phone cases. There are hoodies. There are t-shirts. There are sweatshirts. There's so many options. That's the thing. There's too many fucking options, I think. But anyway, there's merch. We have merch. There's t-shirts. I'm going to get a hoodie.
And it's on, and you go on
tpublic.com, and then it's Everything Is Fine, the Everything Is Fine podcast.
Now look at your nails. You have such a nice manicure today.
Oh, I do have a nice manicure today. I absolutely do.
You've actually got it together. Are you wearing a red jumpsuit?
I am. I'm wearing a full red jumpsuit.
You actually look super cool today.
I've been trying to look kind of cool. I've been trying to look kind of cool. That is one thing I've been doing.
What's that like? God, I don't even remember.
I don't know. I've just been like I found these pictures of Jessica Lange from the 70s, and in them she has this very cool pair of glasses on, and I tracked them down on eBay, and I'm going to get them. They're slightly different than the giant red ones I have in that they are smaller and pink. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get them made into glasses. So I don't know. I guess I still have interests. I just want to see people and be fun. Okay. Listener questions, is it time?
Yes, you read them this week, though.
Okay. In one of the latest episodes, you discussed which celebrity would be a good boyfriend to you. This prompted me to wonder if there's a celebrity who you find attractive, even though he, she, they wouldn't be considered conventionally attractive. For example, I find Benicio del Toro to be one of the sexiest men in Hollywood, but conventionally speaking, he's more of an acquired taste.
Oh, he's pretty fucking hot.
I think he's pretty fucking hot too. No offense to this listener, but yes, I too think he's pretty fucking hot.
Who's the one who's married to Penelope Cruz? Bardem. Javier Bardem.
I mean, It's the hottest.
But he is a little, he's the hottest, but he's a little jolly lad.
Yeah, he is.
That's very much my thing. Like, you know, a little jolly lad, a little rough around the edges.
Oh, thick wrists. Yeah. I don't like thick wrists. Oh yeah.
Well, not always like, you know.
Not a thin wrist. Yeah, I always like a fucked up looking dude. I much prefer a fucked up looking dude than a conventionally handsome dude. I find those men uncomfortable to be around.
No, men who are pretty have never been, or men. Yeah, I like a guy.
Yeah, it's not even has to be guy for me. Just like a little bit weird looking.
Yeah,
a little bit weird looking is my thing. But I'm failing to think about who it is that I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's for me. I don't know why. I'm sure there is. I mean, well, Nathan for you, that guy.
Yeah,
Nathan,
there you go. Nathan, there you go. Brother. There's your answer.
He's just sexy to me. I don't know why. Although,
did you see him at the baseball playoffs when they put him on the big camera?
Oh, how mad he was. Didn't he have like just a scowl? Like
he looked so miserable. He didn't smile. He just, it was hilarious.
I love a person like that who's just like, I don't like this. This makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. Update on Jen's morning meditation routine. Yeah. update all bad. Update, decided to rekindle my favorite relationship in my life with phone, and have been taking phone, not always to bed, but definitely looking at it as soon as I wake up. Mm. So yes. Sari Botten has a question for us. It has come to my attention that Kiehl's has continued its cream and silk groom, a product I've been using since like 1994 to get that PC look in my hair's layers that was popular then. Do we have a sub?
You know what people seem to like that seem to do the same PC thing, mm-hmm, are those Beach Waves products.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
That's what I would go for. And I wish I had the name of a good one, but I would say that trying one of those, people seem to like those Beach Waves products. I know that I don't know why Kiehl's got rid of Silk Room. It was one of the most popular products they had.
I feel like Kiehl's is not doing well. I have no evidence to back that up, but I just feel like it's not making it. I can't find my favorite moisturizer from them, which is that coriander moisturizer, which is the best smell in the world.
Well, you know, they were purchased by Lauder about 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that changes, it changes the formulas. And the minute a small company like that gets picked up, like your formulas change, everything changes because of what you have access to. And it's right. So much cheaper.
Right.
Kiehl's
right.
used to be really, really expensive. It's not cheap now, but it used to be much more expensive.
Yes.
And I think they've just lost their way.
I think so too. But, you know, I will say it's in every international airport. It's in every duty-free international airport I've ever been in the last like 10 years that I've been in. There's like a big like Kiehl's stand. It's the only place I've found really a lot of Kiehl's products. So this is a question for you, Kim France. How do you stay feeling healthy and good about yourselves in the winter months?
It's a struggle. Mm-hmm. It really is. I try to not think in terms of what I'm being deprived of, like light, like greenery, mm-hmm, and think more in terms of what I'm getting. So it's a kind of like, it's a cozier time of year. It's a time of year where you know, if you're not working your ass off all the time, it sort of feels okay and you can get stuff done. I don't know. I'm just trying in general to think less in terms of deprivation and more in terms of the being able to see what the privations are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, it's like glasses half full thinking, right?
I know, which is very alien to me, but I am trying.
I know. I appreciate that you're trying. And we've been talking about like buying cozier things. Oh, there was a very good thread on our Facebook page about socks, by the way, about wearing socks with loafers and just buying great socks, period. And that is my one life hack that I stick by, which is buying expensive socks is an amazing treat and something that makes you happy all day.
Really? I just bought like, you know, 5 pairs for $17 on Amazon. Because I feel like I bought Bombas socks. You know, everybody loves Bombas socks and they're really good. They donate socks for every pair they sell. Mm-hmm. Every pair I had has holes in it.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
And those are not expensive socks, but they're not cheap socks. I don't even know where I would go for expensive socks.
All right. Well, to be continued, because I'll have to go through the labels of my socks.
I am interested.
Because there are some really good, particularly Japanese socks. Like Japanese mm-hmm. designers make excellent socks. To be continued, just a riveting segment
on socks.
You know what? I've got my finger on the pulse of what the people want, and it's socks. Okay. I'd love to hear more about Kim's makeover. Did you ever look into it more?
I did not.
You did not. That's all right.
I did not. I wouldn't be the person. I wouldn't want to be the person trying to give me a makeover, because I'm actually very resistant to new ideas.
Oh my God. Wait, I forgot. We're supposed to be in the question period, but I was thinking about something about you this week. Speaking of things about you. I was thinking about how good you are at having difficult conversations with emotional people.
Really?
Yes. I was thinking of how good you are at actually problem solving in your life, even though I think this is a thing you don't give yourself credit for.
I think you
are really good at solving conflict, and you're very direct, and you're very sensitive and very kind. And it's something I really admire about you, and I just thought I'd say it.
Oh, thank you, Romolini. That makes me feel really good.
Yeah, because difficult conversations are already difficult, but when you're dealing with emotional people, they're worse because you don't know what like fire you might be sparking and setting into. And you're really good at that. And you should know that about yourself.
Thank you.
That was a non sequitur. We'll get to another question before we go. This one is about blazers, Kim. Those oversized blazers that are everywhere right now, can we just wear our husband's blazers? The shoulders are dropped, the sleeves are long, but that seems to be okay now.
It's my least favorite kind of blazer.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna be flattering is the thing, because it's just gonna be cut weird.
It's gonna be cut weird. It's very hard if you have a woman's body to put on men's clothes and have them look right on you.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to have very narrow hips. You've got to have broader shoulders. And the truth is that those oversized blazers are oversized, but the shoulders actually make sense for the person they're the size for. And if you try to put on a man's jacket, it's like there's going to be too much material like below the waist. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's the solution. I think the solution is not to like oversized blazers, but I'm vastly outnumbered on this.
I don't mind an oversized blazer. I really don't mind it, but I do, and I've tried this. It's just like I've tried to wear men's blazers, but the shoulders are too stiff. They're not supposed to be like a slouchy, oversized fit. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to fit the man correctly. So they're structured in a way that is not going to look right, in my opinion. I have been just on eBay buying 80s blazers. And also now you can get a lot of good, like old Rachel Comey. Like you can get Rachel Comey from the early 2000s on eBay. And a lot of the sellers either don't know what they have or don't care that it's Rachel Comey. So I just picked up a very cute little, it's kind of a blazer, but it's a little bit more cropped. It is like a little leather collar, a leather at the very top of the collar, and then like a regular collar after that. And it's like a gray tweed.
Cool.
It's really cute. And I mean, maybe it won't be cute when I get it, but you know, my eBay shopping addiction is big right now.
Yeah. No, Rachel Comey, actually, I've been kind of looking at her a little for like dresses to get married in.
Oh, what are you think? Have you been looking at wedding dresses?
No. I mean, I'm not going to wear a wedding dress.
I know, but have you been? I didn't wear a wedding dress either, but I wore a dress to my wedding.
I have. There is a designer who might be making me a dress. I can't say more about it now.
Wow.
But my dear friend Andrea suggested this designer and sent me a photograph of a one-of-a-kind dress that he made, which could not be more perfect for me, because all I've been thinking this whole time is like, I want to wear a shirt dress. I want to get married in a shirt dress. It's like the only silhouette that looks good on me at the moment. So he made like this gorgeous like shirt dress, or at least the top of it looks like a shirt dress with old linen fabric.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of a kind. And he's like, you know, it's sold and, you know, it was one of a kind fabric, but I'll look for new fabric for you if you're interested. So it could work out that I will wear this dress that will be custom and super cool.
Well, you're getting married in a weird month, and that's going to, it's going to be like, I've already been obsessing about what am I going to wear to your wedding? Like I know really it only matters what you're going to wear, but I'm like, God,
it could be any weather in April.
Exactly.
Any weather. It could be snow.
It could be anything. And it's just like, oh, what is the direction here? What will we do? But a shirt dress is actually such a smart idea and also custom. So it just like fits you really, really well. That's perfect.
It could be nice. And then I have to decide, okay, do I wear that to the party or do I wear that to City Hall or do I wear the same thing to both things? You wore the same thing because you went from one to the next. You had yes. your wedding and then you had dinner and then you went to your party.
Exactly. So I wore the same thing. I wore a little Narciso Rodriguez shift dress that had like a wool top and then the bottom was silk. It was tight and it had like a big exposed zipper in the back and it had a capelet.
And cute.
I mean, I couldn't believe when I bought it. It was like the last one because it was October and I don't know. Anyway, it was the last one. It was the only dress in whatever that fancy boutique is in Soho. And a friend was like, oh, you have to go to this boutique. And I was like, I don't shop in places like that. And then it was there and it fit me perfectly. Though to be perfectly, perfectly honest, it still does not feel like it was my dress. I wish I would have worn a caftan. Like I had like a white caftan that I really wanted to wear with like loose long hair. And everyone was like, you're going the rainbow room. You have to be elegant. So that's why I love that you would wear a shirt dress.
No, but a caftan also I've been thinking about.
Yes.
I love the idea. I love the idea of wearing a caftan.
I'm mad that I didn't wear a fucking caftan. To be continued, the wedding dress conversation to be continued.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it across the platforms. That really helps people find the show, especially on Apple Podcasts. If you want to support the production of the show, we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there. We blog there. We put up bonus content there sometimes. Supporting Patreon really helps us keep the lights on the show. We also have merch, as we discussed earlier today. If you want to get an Everything Is Fine hoodie, you can find those at tpublic.com/theeverythingisfinepodcast. I think that's the address. We're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook with a robust and private Facebook group. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. The show is mixed and edited by the great Natalie Rivera, who we're so lucky to have.
Yay,
thanks, Natalie. Yay, Natalie. And we'll be back next week.
5-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.